Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Well, the elections and primaries of the Likud is over. Looks like Benjamin Netanyahu is still in the driver's seat. But Moshe Feiglin not giving up, hanging right in there, number two now in the Likud, and which is an amazing accomplishment for somebody that's really worked hard and traveled right up the line there. So he's on his way. I am Herschel Lin, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Parsha this week is Shoftim, or Judges. Moshe instructs the people to appoint judges and, of course, enforcement officers to carry out those judgments in every city. It said, Tzedek, Tzedek, justice, justice shall you pursue, says the Parsha. This is where the two witnesses to a crime must testify, of course, to establish guilt. And also Moshe warns the people not to deviate from the Torah, either to the right or to the left. Of course, cities of refuge are discussed, as well as laws for kings, prohibitions against idolatry, and laws for those just getting married. Well, you can see here that we get closer to entering the land, more time is spent to get the people ready for civil society. It's one thing to live in the Midbar in the desert when everything's taken care of you. It's another thing to go into the land when you actually have to do something and plow it and get, you know, do all that stuff. Anyway, speaking of civility, our staff is always very civil and ready to give you the best in Jewish radio. With Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Mr. Bordlin. So sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. And we have a very exciting announcement today. We're going to add to our lineup Mr. Glenn Foxen, now a licensed meteorologist, who is going to be joining the program, giving us the Shabbos weather. So we welcome Mr. Foxen, and we look forward to many years of his participation with us. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and Mazel Tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up in the half hour. Special guest today is Dr. Tzipi Gur, Director of Advanced Education at the Agency for Jewish Learning. She's going to be talking about a recent trip to Poland where she takes teachers to learn about the Holocaust. Very eye-opening. Stay tuned. And if you haven't sponsored a segment yet, please step up and do so now. We want to continue to bring you the best and only authentic Jewish radio in Pittsburgh, but we must have your support. If everyone helps a little, nobody has to help a lot. Call us and get the mitzvah today and be ready for the high holidays. 412-979-5770 or jewishexperience@verizon.net. Consider sponsoring your favorite segment. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson and his popular story segment is now available. Community news and announcements, the popular feminine perspective, Rabbi Eisen's moment in Jewish history is also available. So call right now and reserve your spot. And as always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by Musical Moshe, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770 or simply drop us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. And we get candlelighting time this week. Guess what? We're out of the eights. It's 7:57 p.m. And I can see Mushy over there chomping at the bit to get started.
Well, good afternoon and a guten there Shabbos once again. Now we're in the month of Elul. Boy, with the king in the field. Well, I grew up with the queen in London, but that's another story. So let's get you started here with some nice music to get you tapping around the kitchen. Here's Shrully Ginsberg and Kiani. You're tuned in and good to go on the J.E.
Hashem t'chayeni l'mah Hashimcha Hashem t'chayeni b'tzidkotcho b'tzidkotcho v'yotzi mitoro nafshi l'mah Hashimcha Hashem t'chayeni l'mah Hashimcha Hashem t'chayeni b'tzidkotcho b'tzidkotcho v'yotzi mitoro nafshi u'v'chastecho tatmit doivai u'v'chastecho tatmit
Insight on this week's Parsha is our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Each year, on the first Shabbos, during the month of Elul, the month of introspection, when we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, we read Parshas Shoftim. The beginning of Parshas Shoftim is, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecho b'chol she'orecho. You should place judges and officers in all of your gates. What connection has this posuk with the month of Elul? Hashem is hinting to us that in addition to the officers and judges that we must place at the gate of our cities, we are also instructed to put officers at our own personal gates. You see, a person's eyes are gates. A person can choose to look kindly towards other people, or he can choose the opposite. A person's ears are gates. A person can allow himself to listen to Lashon Hara, to evil gossip, and such things as this. Or, he can choose to listen to Divrei Torah, words of Torah, and Emunah and faith in Hashem. So too, a person's pockets are gates. A person can use his money wisely to help others and to give tzedakah. or he can use his money on things which will only bring him personal joy. It is for this reason that the first Shabbos in the month of Elul, we always read the Parshas Shoftim. We are directed to make certain in the beginning of this month to appoint officers in all of our gates.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for The Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600.
Well, what do you know? Rosh Hashanah is right around the corner. So here's some Rosh Hashanah music with Mordechai Ben David, and this one's entitled Rosh Hashanah, from the album Efshar Litaken. Enjoy.
For a moment in Jewish history with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
One of the great mysteries of Jewish history is the whereabouts of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. At present, the Jewish people basically consists of 3 tribes, Yehuda, Binyamin, and Levi. Some 2,800 years ago, after King Solomon died, Yeravam ben Nevat led a revolt of the 10 northern tribes and created the Kingdom of Israel, which controlled most of the land of Israel. The southern portion of the Holy Land was ruled by the Kingdom of Yehuda, which controlled the 3 tribes of Yehuda, Binyamin, and Levi, and the spiritual centers of Jerusalem and the Holy Temple. As is related in the biblical book of Kings, Sefer Melachim, the northern kingdom sank into a morass of idolatry and materialism. God sent them many prophets, such as Eliyahu, Elisha, and Jonah, but the people did not repent. However, God gave them one last opportunity. Hoshea ben Ela, the last king of the 10 tribes, removed the border guards that had been set up to prevent people from going to the temple to offer sacrifices. When the 10 tribes did not seize this last chance, their fate was sealed. In an 18-year period, from the years 3187 to 3205, over 2,500 years ago, the Assyrians expelled the 10 tribes to the east, ripping away 80% of the Jewish people. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 133 years later, and the remaining three tribes exiled to Babylonia, today's Iraq. Where are the 10 tribes today? No one knows for sure, but this much is certain. They are with us. Jewish tradition tells us that no tribe is extinct, and that these tribes will all be reconstituted in the Messianic era. Individual members of the 10 tribes had joined the kingdom of Yehuda at the time of the split and afterward in order to be able to worship at the Beis HaMikdash. Later, the prophet Yirmiyahu traveled to the east and brought back some of the 10 tribes. Even in Talmudic times, 1,000 years after the expulsion, there were still individuals who could trace their ancestry back to the 10 tribes. The prophet Yeshaya assures the Jewish people of a bright future, and it will be on that day a great shofar will be blown, and those who are lost in Assyria and cast away in the land of Egypt will come and bow to God at the Holy Mount in Jerusalem. May we see it speedily in our days. And on that note, I remain Yosef Eisen, wishing you a very, very pleasant Shabbos.
And as the Jewish experience continues to evolve and grow, we're excited to welcome meteorologist Glenn Fox into the program. During the day, he's executive director of Polyzetic Synagogue, but for us on Fridays, he's our resident meteorologist. And now, meteorologist Glenn Foxen.
This is meteorologist Glenn Foxen with your Shabbos weather. On the weather map, we see a cold front pass through central Pennsylvania, and as a result, the weather in Pittsburgh this Shabbos will be just beautiful. The forecast is for mostly sunny skies with a high temperature between 70 and 75 degrees and nighttime lows between 55 and 60. This cooler and drier weather is a result of northwest winds originating from Canada. Our next chance of rain will come during the time period from Sunday through Tuesday as the winds turn to the southwest and warmer and moister air returns. A 1-2 punch, first from a warm front and then from a cold front, will supply the lifting mechanism to trigger showers and thunderstorms. Please be careful if threatening weather develops. This is meteorologist Glenn Foxen wishing everyone good weather and great times this Shabbos.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
President Renee von der Linden of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe kicks off a week-long official visit to the Middle East on Shabbat, aimed at encouraging current peace opportunities and promoting interreligious dialogue. The Christian Democrat from Holland will be in Jordan until Monday, then Israel, with the PLO-assigned areas scheduled for Thursday and Friday. Inflation for 2007 is forecast to hit at least 3%, the high end of the range targeted by the finance minister and the Bank of Israel, according to economists at Bank Hapoalim. The economists raised their forecast after July's consumer price index registered a rise of 1.1%, double their prediction. They expect that the increase in the index for August will be 0.8%, far higher than usual for the month. Recent increases in the price of electricity, bread, and dairy products are fueling the renewed inflation after a couple of years of a rate near or below zero. Poultry farmers are asking for an increase in the price of eggs. The Prime Minister's office and representatives of Holocaust survivors say that most issues on stipends for the survivors have been resolved, but gaps remain for Prime Minister Ehud Olmert to settle on Sunday. Recent meetings between the two groups have produced the figure of 300 million shekels for survivors who came via the former Soviet Union and have not received any compensation. Director General Ra'anan Dinur of the Prime Minister's office angering the survivors Thursday by saying their problems should be dealt with under a national plan addressing all senior citizens. Defense industry officials have told the Haaretz Daily that lack of a consistent funding plan may leave the home front open to rocket and missile threats from neighboring countries. The officials warn that inadequate and short-sighted budgeting may cause contractors to be unable to meet the government's deadline 20 months from now for deploying anti-ballistic rocket systems near population centers. The defense minister says that the lack of such a plan will not impede development. The Yediot Ahronot daily reporting that the absorption ministry is launching an unprecedented 100 million shekel or $24 million campaign to bring Israelis living abroad back home. The newspaper says the campaign is timed to mark Israel's upcoming 60th anniversary and will be advertised in the media through Israel's embassies and consulates abroad. Quoting absorption minister Yaakov Edri, "Every returning Israeli strengthens the country and boosts its economy. The country's 60th anniversary offers a window of opportunity to bring thousands of Israelis back home." According to the Foreign Ministry, an estimated 750,000 Israelis are defined as Jordanian, that is, they have been living outside the country for at least 2 years. A recent survey has shown that the number one reason for delaying their return home has to do with the fact that returning immigrants are forced to pay almost 9,000 shekels and wait 6 months to be eligible for health insurance again. The absorption ministry is now offering to cover this expense and void the waiting period for all who return by the end of 2008 and notify authorities of their expected return 6 months in advance. The package will also include tax exemptions on income received from abroad and equal tax exemptions for returning immigrants and new olim. Those who return to Israel after 2 to 6 years will be exempt from paying value-added tax on all electrical appliances they bring with them. Currently, this exemption applies only to home appliances and work tools. Within the framework of the new campaign, the absorption minister is drafting a plan to integrate the thousands of returning immigrants into the workforce and help others move their businesses to Israel. The ministry will also help physicians and scientists returning to Israel find jobs in hospitals located in northern Israel and offer them a research grant of $250,000 shekels or $59,000, nearly twice that much in the biotech field, where it will be spread over a 3-year period. The next-to-last flight of Olim, or immigrants, to Israel from North America in this summer's Nefesh B'Nefesh program is scheduled to land on Tuesday. Relive the sounds from this past Tuesday's arrival with Yishai Fleischer on demand on the Internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Dalet, or the fourth of Elul on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast? Continued clear to partly cloudy with a high wave warning at Mediterranean beaches on Friday, seasonal temperatures through Monday. In Jerusalem on Friday, a high temperature of 29 degrees centigrade, 84 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 39 degrees centigrade, 102 Fahrenheit. At the Dead Sea, 41 degrees centigrade, 106 Fahrenheit. The Golan Heights, 32 degrees centigrade, 90 Fahrenheit. Beersheba, 35 degrees centigrade, 95 Fahrenheit. Haifa, 31 degrees centigrade, 88 Fahrenheit. Tel Aviv, 30 degrees centigrade, 86 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Okay, let's take a look at the Mazel Tovs that were called into us this week. George and Ruth Markovitz on the marriage of their grandson, Mendel Markovitz, to Hadassah Adler. Also, Murray and Elvira Pfeffer on the marriage of their grandchild. They're one that pops up in the Mazel Tovs all the time. It's a big schvus. Norman and Gladys Tabachnik on the marriage of their granddaughter. Finally, Morton and Faith Milch on the marriage of their grandson. Looking around the community, the Pirkei Avos classes for women are going to still continue to occur right up to Rosh Hashanah in memory of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff. Jewish Community Day at Kennywood coming up Sunday, August 26th. Tickets are available at synagogues and Pinsker's. Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Cherry Tower every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. The program is not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. Don't forget, if you'd like to have your muscle stuff on our program, you can do it. Call us at 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 7:57 p.m. I'm excited to have with us today Dr. Sipura Gur, who is the Director of Advanced Education and the Agency for Jewish Learning in Pittsburgh. She's worked in the education field for more than 30 years, creating cutting-edge programs in professional development and teacher training, supervising and mentoring teachers, teaching high school students. She developed two-year professional development courses for teachers, she's quite busy working, providing educational services to the Jewish community. But what's interesting for us today is that she created an international study seminars, specifically this trip that recently she took teachers to Poland. So with that, Dr. Gur, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. I'm glad to have you. The key here is this trip to Poland obviously was a very emotional experience for the teachers, being that many of them have probably not had the opportunity to travel abroad. So give us an idea a little bit of where this genesis of this mission that you have to take teachers to Poland, how did it start, how many teachers go, and what kind of a sense that they got when they were there.
Okay, so it started by taking teachers to Israel, really, and the idea was to take first the Jewish from the teachers from the Jewish day schools and congregational schools, mm-hmm. And the reason to take teachers was basically we have teachers in our system that teach about Israel and the love of Israel, but have never been.
Sure.
I'm a strong believer that you need to invest in teachers because teachers can change a generation.
Absolutely.
And then I really started, thanks to the help of our agency, the Agency of Jewish Learning and the Federation and private donors, to really take teachers, not necessarily Jewish, but social study teachers,
mm-hmm.
and English teachers, but especially social study teachers, to Israel. I learned that teachers don't understand the issues of the Middle East. For sure, kids don't. And
yeah, that's critical.
And that's how it really started.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, after Rwanda, I thought that the world didn't learn about genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I thought that it would be really important to take survivors and lead and take study tours to Poland and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
On a personal note, my parents were Holocaust survivors.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, so in any case, so that kind of got you to. When did you make your first trip to Poland?
It was 9 years ago.
Wow, Yeah. Yeah, so, and now I guess it's a pretty established program. How many people do you usually take with you on a trip?
Well, I take, like this trip, we had 47 people all together. There were 15 teachers. The teachers came from different schools, private and public schools. And then we take 17 high school age teens, and the
wow.
teens also come from the whole Pittsburgh community, from Mount Lebanon High School to mm-hmm. Winchester to Fox Chapel High School, different schools in the Pittsburgh area.
And what percentage when you take these are Jewish? Usually, I mean,
this year there were only two Jewish teachers.
Wow.
The rest were non-Jewish teachers.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, WQED came and aired a documentary, and
uh-huh.
we also had 47, but at that time we had mostly teachers. We didn't have any teens.
So the teachers that went with you, I assume this is all cost, no cost to them, it was all covered?
No, the teachers pay $500 to go.
Okay.
Because they have to invest something.
I agree, sure.
And the rest, you know, the school might pay $500, and the rest is being raised for them.
That's great. That's great. So and it's usually $500, I guess, is within most of their budget, so they're able to do it. Is there any, do you notice any difference in the reactions of the Jewish teachers to the non-Jewish teachers when you take them through the camps?
No. I think that a study seminar like this,
mm-hmm,
really changes the person, and I think, I don't think, I mean, we can measure it. It's amazing as an educator because, you know, as educators, we don't necessarily see the difference when we teach kids or we educate. But when you take teachers on a study seminar like this, in 1 week, you see a difference.
Right.
And the ripple effect is unbelievable because the teachers are very serious, and they come back and, you know, they will change the curriculum. They will tell personal stories. Last year, we had a whole photography exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a wonderful photographer, Dror Yaron,
mm-hmm,
who came with us. He's teaching at Manchester Craftsman Guild. And he joined the study seminar. And after the trip, he and I and a group of teachers and teens worked together to put a photography exhibit that was showing at the filmmakers in Pittsburgh, but also at the Galicia Museum in Krakow. And now we are bringing it back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, one of the things I saw, it's actually that exhibit is on the Internet. One of the things I looked at before just preparing to speak with you is an incredible exhibit. So, and it says it's from Pittsburgh, PA, right there. So gives Pittsburgh a little bit of notoriety there as well. So
it's basically reflections on the trip, so it's
right.
Not a photography exhibit of terrible sights in Auschwitz,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but a reflection of what people felt after they came back.
Sure.
But going back to your question, there is a change. I can tell you a story. I had a teacher that said to me, I used to be very picky about food. Now I would eat anything. One teacher said that now he appreciates family so much,
sure,
and his mother. And I mean, it becomes more than just Holocaust or genocide. It becomes a very deep experience that touches people on different levels.
Absolutely. So give us an idea. When they get there, you got a week with them. Is this a tour that's set up by the Polish authorities, or is this something you designed? How does it work? What do they do for the week?
Yeah, I tailor it because every time, you know, I take a survivor, so I tailor the trip based on the survivor's story. Last year, we took a survivor by the name of Bob Mendler,
mm-hmm,
and from La Trobe, and we basically followed Bob to his hometown. He showed us where he lived. He showed us where he went to school. The interesting part was that I brought him back to the factory that his father owned,
wow,
in Novoterk, and he found a friend from third grade that he didn't see for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
I also surprised him with a big event at the city hall where he received from the mayor of Novoterk all the papers. And it was a very touching experience.
It sounds like it, and it's that's incredible. I mean, that's such a movie. Now, you didn't know about any of this. I mean, you just took them there because you knew.
No. I worked on it before.
Uh-huh.
And I plan it. I study the story,
mm-hmm,
and I tailor the trip based on the story.
Yeah, it's amazing that the factory's still there. It's amazing, you know, that a lot of this stuff hasn't changed or hasn't been mowed down or rebuilt. That's,
yeah, this year, I mean, when WQED came with us, I planned the trip in a way that I brought them to meet we had a hidden child that lives in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
and I brought her and the group of all those teachers to meet the righteous, gentle woman who saved her 58 years ago.
Unbelievable. That's got to be an incredibly emotional experience.
Yeah, it's all emotional. This year we had a survivor, and we found the grave of her grandmother in Lodge.
Now, this is a grandmother that's not, you found the grave, but it's not somebody that died.
No, she died in 1910.
Yeah, okay.
But she remembered
her.
She lived in her house.
Sure. Sure. So, and do people, I mean, do they opt to stay longer, or is this just something they go with your program and they come back?
No, nobody stays longer, but they continue to Israel. In the last 2 years, the teachers didn't continue.
Okay.
But those teachers will go to Israel on a different trip.
So we're beginning to run out of time. Just very quickly, survivor. When you actually take a survivor back to maybe a camp where they were at, I mean, can they emotionally handle that? I mean, that seems to be something to be very difficult.
Okay, you're right. My mom would never go back, and she's 84, and she's mm-hmm. living in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But there are survivors that would like to go back, and every survivor that went back, it was a very healing experience for them.
Wow.
And what happens is, as difficult it is, they really would like to get back to say Kaddish for their family.
Yes.
And it's interesting what happens to them, the survivor this year. They just forget. If they needed a wheelchair, they just forget. They come to their hometown and they start walking around, running, showing us, looking. And in most of the cases, they start telling things that they didn't talk about for 60 years.
Right. Yeah, that is incredible and is great. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing that you're doing. And where do you go from here as we wrap this up? What is your plans for the future to continue this and expand it?
Well, this can really be a bigger vision, and it can be really big if we had the funding for it. I take as many teachers as I can based on the funding.
Sure.
The one thing that you need to know is the trip is not tailored just on a Holocaust perspective.
Okay.
But it shows what life is all about in Poland now.
Mm-hmm.
We have dialogues with Polish teens and Polish teachers. This year, we were part of this big event of the groundbreaking of a Jewish museum in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
There were over 3 million Jews in Poland before the war. There are 5,000 left, but
wow.
The Polish government decided that it's time to build a Jewish museum.
Yeah.
And the whole group were part of this event. And also a very big event was the Israeli ambassador, where they recognized Polish citizens that nowadays are cleaning cemeteries or are doing all kinds of volunteer services to make, you know, to help the Jewish community.
Very nice. So if people want to find out more, especially teachers that are listening to the program want to find out more about this, how do they get in touch with you?
They call the Agency of Jewish Learning and they ask for me, and they go by Tzipi Gur.
Okay, and you want to give us that number?
412-521-1101.
Okay, very good. That's 412-521-1101 to speak to Dr. Tzipora Gur at the Agency for Jewish Learning. I want to thank you very much for being with us today. She is the Director of Advanced Education. And if you want more information, please give her a call. Thank you again for being with us. Have a great Shabbos.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Moshe Papal. reyim ho ahudim ahudim Tamei chacho yitzicho Tiganei chanide mikede Oy, Tamei ya
what you hear, or you have an idea for selections on a future show, you can email me, Moshe Pekar, at keyplayer@hotmail.com, and we'll try and do it.
Now it's time to take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
One of the biggest blessings, and yes, curse, that Hashem planted in our bodies at the time of creation was the gift of Seichel, the power to think rationally for ourselves. The reason I say it is a curse is because, ironically, it is primarily through this divine gift that one can go astray. When a person thinks that he knows it all, and his Seichel is the ultimate intelligence, he perceives the Torah as something that should change to suit his needs, as opposed to one perfecting themselves according to the standards of the Torah. In a sense, we are discussing arrogance, the blind self-love that can cause a person to even commit murder, so long as he can rationalize it so his conscience is salvaged. In this week's Torah portion, Parsha Shoftim, we read about the different laws and obligations the kings, judges, and prophets are required to keep. Peace is what keeps the world in existence, but justice is what creates peace. One can have all sorts of laws and duties, but often one will not follow them unless one is forced to, an unfortunate characteristic of human nature. The judges and kings were the ones chosen to mete out justice. They are due immense measures of respect, because when they see that justice is carried out, Hashem doesn't need to, so he uses his attribute of mercy. The Torah uses an interesting phrase to explain to us our obligation, tzedek tzedek tirdof. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. Interestingly, it was from this verse that created the school of thought that today rationalizes away the very premises of Torah and Judaism. What this verse really means is that Hashem wants us to make sure that justice is done in this world. What one can infer from here without the proper teachers is that the definition of justice is subjective to human interpretation. Therefore, why do I have to follow the Torah's ideas of justice if I think that my definition makes more sense? Accepting that, why do I have to do anything that doesn't make sense to me? Can you spot the problem here? If you guessed arrogance, you are correct. It is arrogance, the refusal to believe that there is a higher knowledge, coupled with the seichel that starts the process, little by little, until the person comes to deny the very existence of a creator. Even King Solomon, the wisest among men, thought he could withstand life without mitzvos. Knowing that a king cannot have too many wives, gold, or horses, he still had over 700 wives and 300 concubines. His gold was as numerous as the stones in Yerushalayim, and his horses were too many to count. We know in retrospect that it was his wives that caused him to sin through his wealth. If Shlomo HaMelech was not able to understand and rationalize the Torah, how could we, on a much lower level, attempt to do the same? While the Torah wants us to have a sense of pride, we still have to recognize that there are those that are greater than us. Life is a divine gift. Who better to show us how to live our life than the divine King, the creator of life? Have a good Shabbos.
Now it's time for another classic story from our master storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
In this week's Parsha, Parsha Shoftim, we read about the very special rule of the Jewish court. And when three judges are appointed according to the Torah, then Hashem's presence rests in the court. One time, the Kovno Rav was traveling in a coach from Kovno to another city to take care of an important community matter. Along the way, he began to feel very tired and asked the wagon driver to pull into one of the tiny villages that were scattered off the main road. He obliged the Rav's request, and he rode into town, looking for the rabbi's house where the Rav could stay at. He was shocked to see the Kovno Rav knocking at his door, and he became very serious. The Kovno Rav calmed him down, explaining that he just happened to be passing near his town and needed a place to rest for an hour or two. The rabbi was not the most learned Torah scholar, to put it politely, but he was very hospitable and directed the Kovno Rav to a bed in a side room of the house. No sooner had the Kovno Rav laid down in his bed when there was a knock heard at the door. Two simple Jewish farmers had come to talk to the rabbi. Rebbe, they announced, we have a Din Torah. Well, you are in luck then, the rabbi informed them. You'll never believe who is here in my house. The Kovno Rav. He came here to rest for a while. I'll go see if he is still awake. The rabbi tiptoed over to the Kovno Rav's room and peeked in to see if he was available. However, he was totally exhausted and did not want to be bothered, so he pretended to be sleeping. He went back and forth to the Kovno Rav's room. He apparently preferred not to get involved in the case if he could pass the matter on to an expert Rav. I'm afraid the Rav is sleeping, he finally told his scholars. It doesn't matter, they said, growing impatient. Anyway, you are our Rav, not some rabbi from Kovno. Please hear our case and give us your decision. The Kovno Rav overheard the two men presenting their arguments to the rabbi. But then he fell asleep. When he woke up, the rabbi told him what had happened. Just after you went to sleep, two men came and asked me to arbitrate a monetary dispute for them. I tried to get them to wait and present their case to you, but they were impatient, so I had to handle the matter myself. And what was the nature of the case? The Kovno Rav asked. The rabbi reviewed the statements of the two litigants, which he had, of course, already heard. Then he heard how he ruled in the matter. The Kovno Rav was flabbergasted. It was an uncommon and somewhat complicated case, yet the rabbi's decision was exactly on the mark, in accordance with the words of the poskim, the halachic authorities. The Kovno Rav wondered, did this unlearned rabbi come to such a decision on his own? That's a fine ruling, the Rav congratulated him. Can you please show me the source upon which you based your decision? The rabbi pulled his Shulchan Aruch off the shelf, opened it up, and pointed to a comment made by the Be'er Heitev, one of the commentators on the Shulchan Aruch. "That's where I got it from," he told the Kovno Rav. The Kovno Rav looked at the passage and was flabbergasted once again. The rabbi had completely misread the Be'er Heitev, whose comment had absolutely nothing to do with the case at hand. The message of the story is clear. When a rabbi has to paskin, he is not acting alone. He is blessed with a certain measure of divine assistance to ensure that the proper ruling emerges, even if it emerges through error. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
And so we come to the close of the fourth of the 7 weeks of consolation leading up to the new year. And may God please bring the final redemption just in time, maybe even before time, to greet the new year. I want to thank Dr. Tzipi Gur, Director of Advanced Education for the Agency of Jewish Learning, and of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Ms. Deborah DeLynn, meteorologist Glenn Foxen, and our engineer, Jeremy LeBossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 7:57 p.m. It's been a ton of fun, but I do have to run. I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. See you all next week. Same Yiddish time, same Yiddish channel. Shabbat.